We are picking up from Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. We're in the second line with Rabba and Rabbi Zira. So we're going to continue our discussion mainly of Hatmana, of insulating, and we're going to come to a very important Halacha Maisa on the end of the Amud over here with regards to opening bottles and Shabbos. So the Gemara now starts. Rabbi Zira, Iklu the Beresh Galus, Rabbi Zira. They came to visit the house of the Reish Galusa was the most prominent position in Bavel. He was like the Rosh Hashiva of Bavel. He was very powerful, both in, he was a government official also, meaning he had ties to the government. He was a very powerful person either way. So they went to his house. He's also a big Talmud Chacham. So they went to his house and Chazulahu Avda Danach Koza Demaya Puma de Kukumka. They saw that the servant over there was placing a jug of water on the opening of a kettle in order to heat the water in the jug. And Nizai Rabba got very upset at him and he yelled at the guy. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You can't do that. It's us here to do that on Shabbos." So the Gemara says now, Amar le Rab Zera, Maishnam Mecham Agabe Mecham. Rab Zera said to him, "Why is this any different than what we see later on?" We're going to see this in the parak over on Nun Aleph, that it's mutter for the Tosefta tells us it's mutter to put two kettles, one on top of the other, in order to preserve the heat on the top kettle. So the placement of the top kettle is not regarded as hatmana. So why over here were you upset that the guy placed a jug of water on the top one over here? So he says, "What's the difference?" So he says, "No, there's a fundamental difference." Amar le hasam ukime ha kamukim hacha elude kamuli. In this situation, in the case of the brisa, when you place two kettles together, what all you're doing is preserving the heat on the top because they both are hot. Here, though, you're placing a jug that is cold, and therefore you are going to be insulating it in order to get hot. So that would be considered hatmana in this situation. And therefore, it's going to be usher, and therefore it's going to be usher. It's important to note over here, that's how Rashi understood the sugya that we're all discussing Hatmana. According to Tosos, this has nothing to do, this sugya, that this whole Pshat of Atari had nothing to do with Hatmana at all. Rather, it was dealing with the case of just, of a chshash of bishul, that the servant wanted to only warm the water, and he didn't want, plan on cooking it. However, if it's able to become cooked, Rabbah, that it's usher. If something has the ability to become yatz lettuce boat, to become hot to the boiling point, that is going to become usher, even if you take it off beforehand. And that's what Tosafot says this whole sugya is. And that's important to note because that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. That if not excluding the Tanai Chazara for how you'd be allowed to get it onto it, but if you're able to figure a situation where you're going to have a cold liquid and putting it back on the hot plate or something like that, so if the hot plate is able to get, and it was cold liquid, the hot plate is able to get it to the point where it would boil, it would get to the point where it would become boiling hot, that would be usher to put it there because that would be over the Isser of Bishul. Even if you plan on taking it off 10 minutes in just to warm it up, we see from this Gemara that that's usher. That's how Tosafos learned the Gemara. So it's very important. Alach l'maisa. Again, but most of the time you wouldn't be allowed to get it back onto the hot plate anyway because you'd have a problem of chazara. But if you would have this situation, maybe Kedera Kana, not getting into all the details right now, but then to keep that in mind as a reason that it would be usher. Continues the Gemara now. So that was strike one for the servant. Now he makes another mistake. Hadar chazib departs the sudar pume de kukva v'anach nat la'luye. Rabba looked at it, the servant later on. He was spreading this type of kerchief, Rashi says, or turban, whatever, some sort of thing like that, over the opening of the jug, and then he put a ladle on it. And so the Gemara says, Nazarab, Rabba again yelled at him, "What are you doing over here? Amrele Rabbi Zira Mai, so what did you do wrong over here?" Amrele Hash the Chazis, he says, "Go look and see what's going to happen. You see that he's going to make a massive mistake." So what happened? Lasov Chazid to come at He saw the servant squeezing out the kerchief in order to extract the water, and he was going to be over the din of Malabin, maybe potentially, okay, if you assume that that's the reason that it's usher to squeeze something out, but he was over the Isser of Malabin. So therefore, Rabba understood that this was a Gzera, lest you come, that it's usher to do that, to put the turban or the kerchief above the water over here because we're afraid a person's going to come to squeeze it out. The Sfas Nemesh has a kasha though. How did the Rabbah allow this guy to violate the Isser Dereisa? So Sfas Nemesh says that he can't be that he would allow him to violate the Isser Dereisa. Rather, he saw he's about to do it and then he stopped him right before it happened. Rabbah was saying, "Look, what's going to happen?" And then I'll stop him. And then he told him not to do that. Either way, the Gemara continues. Amar le Maishna miparvanka. Rabbi Zira said to Rabbah, "Why do you make a gzera in this case and you don't make a gzera with regards to a rag? A rag, we know you're allowed to use to cover a bowl of liquid. And we're not afraid you're going to squeeze out the rag." So he says, "There's a fundamental difference. Amar le Hasam lo kapid lo ayachah kapid." No, when it comes to a rag, that's what it's for. That you don't care if it gets really wet, and that's what they're garbage. They're not worth anything. However, the kerchief is important to the guy, so he doesn't want it to be so wet. So therefore, he cares about it, and then he'll squeeze it out in order not to get it ruined. So therefore, there is a difference, halach l'maisa. Here's the Gemara now quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, v'lo b'tevin, that a person is not allowed to use straw to use as a hatmana agent, as to insulate it. And the Mishnah also continued, but not with a few other things also, right? It said, lo b'tevin, lo b'zagin, lo b'mochin, v'lo b'asavu. So we're going to analyze the zagin and mochin over here, but really not even, really there's mochin, that the residue of grapes, that was the zagin, and then the mochin were this type of, right, this soft materials, that was usher also to use. When they're moist, it was usher. So the Gemara now says, boy mine Ravada bar masna mabai. Ravada bar masna asked the question from Rabbi, mochin shetaman bem ma'al taltalan b'shabbos. Regards to dry soft items with a person's insulating them, on Friday, are you allowed to move it? Is it mukta? Does it not have a purpose? And it's considered mukta, or is it okay? Why would it be mukta? Because Rashi says that this item is generally used to make felt, and that is aser on Shabbos, so therefore it's not a kli, and therefore it's not even considered a kli shemachta, so it's going to be even worse. It's going to be mukta machmas gufa, mukta machmas gufa, we saw before, like a stone or things like that, which have no purpose on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to move, l'tzorach gufa, l'tzorach makoma. So this would be very problematic to move on Shabbos. So he says, Amar Leih, so he responded, Abai answered, v'chim nim eshen l'kupa shel tevin omed umafkir kupa shel moichin. But he responded, he said, just because that it doesn't now have a basket of straw in which a person is able to insulate the food, does then it literally stand up and renounce his basket of soft material? Meaning, obviously, that he would have preferred to insulate his food with straw. That's what Rashi points this out, because it's less expensive. The only reason that he used the material he was using was because the straw wasn't available. So therefore, he doesn't want to use it, so therefore, it's going to be problematic, and therefore, it would be considered mukta. So the Gemara says, so lema misayela, so we're going to bring a support for Abaye Shita, because the Braisa says, tomen b'zikye semer, v'tifer shomer shomer agman of moichin. A person allowed to insulate with the wool shearing of the mats, with the comb wool, the stripes of purple wool, all of these things, and the ikar point for us is the mochin, this soft material, you're allowed to use for insulating, v'ein metaltalin, so, but that's the point of the raya over here, the fact that you're not allowed to move them, the Braisa clearly seems to assume that is mukta like Abaye said. So Gemara wants to reject the proof. The Gemara says, no, imishim ha lo iria. If you're going to say that this is the raya for Abaye, that's not the parallel case. Why? Because hachi kamar, im lo taman ben, in metaltanosa. When the Braisa was saying that it's usher to move this soft material, that's if a person didn't use it for insulating. However, if a person insulated on Erev Shabbos, then he used it for a heter purpose, and therefore it's not going to become muksa. That's how you'll answer the Braisa, that the Braisa was only referring to when you didn't use it for insulation. I mean, Abaye holds that it's muksa even if a person is using it for atmana. That was the whole shayla based on the Mishnah. But the Braisa could be explained that it was referring to only when you didn't use it. When you used it, would not be mukta. So we don't have a proof for Abaye. So the Gemara says, though, if you want to explain that this was the Braisa was talking about, my lemimra, then what is going to be the chiddush of the Braisa? So then, meaning the chiddush, the Braisa would be saying that what? That when something was not used for insulation, so then it's obvious that doing it is going to be mukta, because there's no purpose that's mukta heter for Shabbos, and it's mukta machmas gufa. It's no purpose on Shabbos, no purpose for anything, and therefore it's going to be usher and it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara answers, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is ma'od seim achazi limazgalayu kamash mulan. The Braisa is telling us that you may have thought that using the soft material has a purpose on Shabbos. You could recline on it if you really wanted to. It has some sort of purpose that is a heter purpose on Shabbos. I would have thought maybe it's not necessarily going to be mukta, so therefore, since it's not no use for that, it is going to be mukta. That's what the chiddush of the Braisa is. So we don't have a proof for a Abaye. So the Gemara now says, Rav Chista shar l'aduri adure lebei sadia b'shabasa. So is a shiloh over here whether this has to do with our previous sugya. According to the Ritva, it seems like it is a hemshech of the sugya. Ritva says that the chiddush is over here that it's not going to be mukta because it's considered made before. The Rav Chista allowed a person to return the stuffing made of this material, this material over here, and put it back into the pill on Shabbos. So he didn't consider it a violation of the Eser Deraisa of Tikkun Maneh. Right, Rashi says it is a rice of tikkun maneh of finishing something. So it's not considered making utensil on Shabbos. He held it as mutter. So the Gemara says now, Eisivei Rav Chanan Bar Chista l'Rav Chista. They asked the kashin of Chista from the Braisa though. Matirin based tzavar b'Shabbos have a low poschin. Someone's allowed to untie the a neck opening on a garment on Shabbos, but a person is not allowed to open it up in the first place. Why is a person not allowed to untie it? So firstly, just to point out, Rashi says that it used to be back then that they used to send their stuff to the laundry, and they would tie the colors completely shut. So The chiddush is, I mean, not chiddush, the heter is that since the knot was never meant to be permanent, it's considered completely temporary, and a person allowed to be untied that on Shabbos, which has major nafkaminas for when you allowed to tie and untie something on Shabbos, let's say a tie. When something, a tie on Shabbos, and when you're allowed to untie it, is a lot of plain words over here, but you're allowed to untie it if it's not meant as a permanent thing, and it's not considered a double knot, so that would be potentially not a problem making the tie or untying it, which is why it's better to, for persons making the tie on Friday night, to not leave it over, some people like to leave it all on Shabbos, to leave it for 24 hours would be problematic, not so much the sugya over here, but just if it's not, the ikar point was that if it's temporary and meant to be undone, that would not be the issue of untying it. So the Gemara says, the ikar raya from here was the fact that the hemshech, one person is not allowed to put this material, right? A person is not allowed to put this this soft material back in to a pillow on Yontiv and obviously on Shabbos. So the Brisa clearly tells us that it's usher to stuff it into the pillow, and Rav Chisda said that it's mutter. So how could it be Rav Chisda said it's mutter? So the Gemara says, no, lo kasha. This is not a kasha at all. There's no difficulty because the case of the Brisa, that was talking about a new pillow that had never been used before, never been stuffed before, and by putting stuff inside of them, a person would be doing tikkun mana. You'd be creating the pillow, which is an iser tenta deraisa of creating something on Shabbos. However, in the case of the Rav Chisda said it's mutter, it regards to an old pillow that the stuffing has just fallen out. The pillow is already made. It's not considered a tikkun mana. You're not even made a kli. Therefore, just returning the stuffing into the kli is not considered fashioning a kli, and therefore it's not going to be usher. So the Gemara brings a raya for this time. Actually, a brisa that seems to support this answer because the brisa says a nosin amochin losin chabarla because this beyontov bein tarchem Shabbos. A person not allowed to place the stuffing of this material into the mattress on their pillow on Shabbos, and obviously on Yontiv, and it goes without saying to do it on Shabbos also usher. However, the brisa continues nashru machzir losin Shabbos bein tarchem beyontov if it fell off. If the stuffing fell out, a person would be allowed to return it on Shabbos, and it goes without saying on Yontiv would be mutter as well. So we see that if it was just an old pillow that you're just putting back in, would not be an issue at all. So the Gemara now says, Omar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, HaPosech Bat Tzavar B'Shabbos Chayv Chatas. Once we're discussing a person opening the neck opening, so now we're going to discuss someone who opens up a neck opening of a garment for the first time. That is going to be an Isser D'Raisa because he has created a kli. Beforehand, it wasn't clothing, it wasn't fit. We're talking about the first time it was ever used. And so therefore, and it was and the moment that you open it, you have now created a beged, you've now created a garment, and it's an Isser D'Raisa. So the Gemara asks, Kashkala Maski Blood of Kahana, Mabe Zilla Magufas Chavis. How is this going to be any different from the barrel lid? We know the Brisa says later on, we're going to see this, that a person is allowed to chop off the top of the sealed barrel in order for the barrel to remove, to take the stuff out of the barrel. So we see that creating an opening of the barrel is not usher. So the Gemara answers over here, Amar Le Rava, Rava said, Zeh Chibor, that the material in the shirt is connected. It is one unbroken piece of material, and therefore opening it up would be considered tikkun mana and creating a kli, and that's aser. However, this lid was not sealed on. It's not one piece of the barrel. Therefore, the barrel is considered to have an opening even before it was chopped off, and therefore it's mutter. So this is a big shaila if you can apply this to a case of a soda bottle. A soda bottle is a big shaila about opening them on Shabbos. Opening bottles on Shabbos, is it mutter, is it aser? First thing is that let's say a wine opener. Why is it mutter to open a bottle of wine on Shabbos? Because that's literally the case of the Gemara, clearly. That it's not meant to be, there. It's considered two different entities, and you're just opening the barrel. That's literally like the case of opening the barrel. That's not a shaila. I don't think anyone is machmir about opening wine bottles on Shabbos. However, when it comes to opening a soda bottle, the question is, are you creating a kli now? Is it fundamentally different than this case of the Gemara? Is it just this case? So some posting wanted to know, it's really this case and you're not creating a kli, but a lot of posting are bothered by this, saying maybe that the case of a soda bottle is a person would be creating a kli, you'd be creating the top part. When you remove the seal, you've now created, it's not, everyone thinks it's the issue of the bottom part of the bottle. It's not true. That ikar is, you've created the kli, is that little cap. That little cap is your problem over here. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman is a fascinating pshara. It's Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which was always approved by Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa has a famous chiluk. He says that when it comes to plastic bottles, since already it was made kilu to be opened, and before once you open it, all you're doing is just moving that slab over there, then there's no issue whatsoever. However, when it comes to metal bottles, Rosh Hashanah Zalman holds that's not the case of this. It is a chibur because what do? They put a metal slab on it, and it never was a kli before. So when you open it, you actually talk. Made a kli. So that Rosh Hashanah was machmir about opening metal bottles on Shabbos. Again, it kind of depends on the mitzvahs of how they make the metal bottles and how they're making the plastic bottles. And even within that, there, I know of many gedolim, Rav Yashiv did not open bottles on Shabbos. Many gedolim held that it's usher. Shechter Shlita holds that it's usher. He holds that it's a Pesach night. There's another issue of making a nice opening. So again, bottles are a big shayla, but it's important to note that this is one of the starting points of that sugya, is this Gemara over here. Okay, so now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara said that we saw before that something is attached versus not attached. The Gemara is going to go on to a subject of being attached, mainly with regards to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. Says the Gemara, now, Rami Le Rab, Yirmiyah Le Rabbi Zer. Yirmiyah asked a contradiction between two different Mishnayos. Tanan, in one Mishnah we learn, Shalal Shel Kovsim, with regards to articles of clothing which are loose, are attached loosely by people who are the launderers, then... And Rashi points out that they used to put them together, to stitch them together so people wouldn't lose them in the wash and know whose is who, the launderers. And also a keychain, and a garment who was sewn with shatnez, right? Shatnez is wool and linen, which was sewn together. Chibur l'tuma, they're considered joined with the guards. They're considered one unit with the guards to tuma. That if one of these items becomes tameh, the article with it is going to become tameh as well. Until a person begins to separate them. The moment which a person is beginning to detach them, then he is showing that he does not, he shows that he doesn't necessarily, that he wants it to be two different items and two different articles, and therefore it's not going to be tameh. That if one of them, you touch one of them, the other one would not become tameh. And that the chiddush is over here that even though these loaner garments and the shatnez, you plan on taking them off, the loaner garments for sure, because the guy wants to use each individual shirt, let's say, that were stitched together, and kolchik in the shatnez, and Israel derises to wear it, so obviously you're going to take off the wool and linen. The chiddush is that if a person didn't begin to detach them, you haven't shown a maisa, so they're still considered a chibur, it's still going to be considered a connection. However, even if he only begins the process, but he's even finished doing it, then the chiddush is over there that they're going to be considered two different articles with regard to tumah. So the Gemara now says, that we see though that even then, the utensils are not actually being used while no work is being performed with them, we see that they're going to be considered together with regards to if it touches one for a tameh, the whole thing becomes tameh. Ramina, but the contrast that to the following Mishnah, which says, Makal Shasa Yad Lekardim, if a person has a stick, which he uses it for to stick into his axe handle, so he has this wooden stick that he sticks in. Chibur l'tumah b'shas melacha. That's only going to be considered joined. If a tumah touches the stick, then the axe is also going to become tummy only when a person is using the axe. However, the Gemara makes a diuk. Then b'shas melacha in shlo b'shas melacha. Though that clearly implies that when the axe is not being used, you're not using the axe. Then if it touches the stick, you don't consider it a joint, and therefore if you touch the stick, the axe would not become tame. So why is that though? We saw before that it didn't matter what point it is with regards to the thing with the launderer and the shatnez. So the Gemara answers, Amrlei Hasan, when it comes to these two cases with the shatnez and the launderer, Shelo b'shas melacha, while no work is being performed, Adam asa zarka lebesa etzim. When it comes to the wood, when it comes to the stick that you put in, that a person wants to toss the wood because he has no use of it whatsoever. It has no shayla, I don't care, you could replace it with anything. However, that in the case with the launderer, he does want them to be attached, because if the clothing becomes dirty again, then he doesn't want to deal with, even if it's a small sewing that they used to do to attach them together, but it's still annoying to do that, so therefore he would leave them together until he gave them back to the guy who ordered the laundry. So since he theoretically would be happy in a situation where it became dirty, so therefore he's happy with having it there, and therefore even Shalav B'Shas Malacha, even while the launderer is not actually physically going to be cleaning the clothing, we consider the stitching enough to create the two garments as being connected. So once you're discussing that, the Gemara now focuses on other utensils with regards to tuma and chiburim. The Gemara says, "B'sura masla l'ashmaita mishmeder Rav Chista." In Surah, they said that Rav Chista said this statement, and in Padimza masla mishmeder Rav Kahana, that they said Rav Kahana said the same statement. What is that? V'amrle mishmeder Rava, and some say there was the name of Rava. Man Tana masla damar Rabbanan. Which Tana taught us the concept that kol mechuber lo arei kemosu, that when something is attached, even if it's not necessary for the purpose of having it attached, for the function of the item itself, is still considered like the thing itself. That is, that if it touches the thing that it's attached to, the thing A is attached to thing B, that if it touches thing A, even though thing A is not helping thing B at all, then they both become tame. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Meir, it's the Shita of Rav Meir. It's not because the Mishnah tells us, that if a person has this type of receptacle for oil and for spices, a spice receptacle and a lamp receptacle, for of a kira, right? The kira, we know they used to attach like these small type of receptacles to them, to the stove. They would hold up the oil in order to warm them by the heat of the kira, Rashi tells us. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us, Matamin Maga, they come through, if a person touches if the kira or its walls come tame, the receptacles are also going to come tame. If in Matamin Bavir, however, if the kira becomes tame through, that it's going into the airspace of a kira, then it's not going to be, metame the receptacles. Divrei Meir. So it's just important to give a small background over here. When it comes to clay cheres, to earthenware vessels, we have a special halacha that if something enters the airspace of the earthenware, then it becomes tame. That it, the everything inside of it, the context would become inside, would become tame, and so to anything that it's connected to. So the Gemara, that's the chiddush of klei cheres, as opposed to if you touch something on the klei cheres, the outside it might not be metame the inside. That's a special gzeiras hakasa. The Torah tells us why with regards to earthenware vessels. So the chiddush of Rav Meir is that if I touch it, it's considered attached. However, if I stick it through the air and the kira now becomes fully tame, it's not even the receptacles don't become tame, even though they're attached according to Rav Meir, even though they're according to we attached. So Gemara's asking in a moment, what's the chiluk? If you assume that when you touch them, they become tame, then the same should be that if they come tame through avir, through the airspace, they should also become tame. So Gemara's asking in a second, and Gemara says, Rav Shimon Matai. So the Gemara now says, though, Bishlam the Rav Shimon Kasar Lav Kikir Tame. So I understand Rav Meir. He understands that these receptacles, these things on the side, are not fundamentally part of the kira itself. They're not part of this kira. So they're not part of this like stovetop. However, when it comes to the mayor, he says, so he asked the very question we just said, that if it's like the kira itself, then the kira became tame, so then these receptacles, which you're assuming are part of the kira, should also become tame. And the same should be the other way around, though. If the mayor assumes that they're not like a kira, then we know that if something is not considered a chibur, it's not considered a join, then if I touch the receptacles, the stovetop, the kira shouldn't become tame, and vice versa. If I touch the stovetop, the receptacle shouldn't become tame as well. So the Gemara now answers, La'olam lav kikira dama. So on a deraisa level, Rav Meir agrees that they're not attached. So they're bonanu de gazru, and therefore the rabbis made a lacha. They decreed on this case that they're going to be considered joined like a kira. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, if it's midrabanan considered a joint entity, then e gazer behu afilu ke'aver namilatama. That if that's the case, then midrabanan, it should also be tame me'aver. That if they put it in the airspace of the kira of the oven, that it should also become tame, that the receptacle should become tame on a midrabanan level. Granted, it shouldn't be a derai, so it should be a midrabanan level. So the Gemara says, avudu barabanan ekira ke'echidul asr the mitzvah like trim of kachim. Gemara answers many times when we find a special kula by dine tuma metara. By dinim of things becoming tame vitar, a lot of times we will assume there's a special kula by the dinim derabanan in order that a person shouldn't come to think that this was a tuma deraisa. What's the difference? It was tame deraisa or derabanan. There's a halacha that a person has to guard tuma vikachin, and on a deraisa level, a person's not allowed to burn them. However, if they're tame, you have to burn them. So if on a deraisa level it's tahor and the rabbanan are saying that it's tame, so on a deraisa level this is fully fit. Tuma v'kachim. So the Chazal didn't want you. The rabbis didn't want you to come and be sorif and burn the tuma v'kachim because maybe really on a deraisa level it's fully tahor. So therefore they would make hakirim that a person should know not to let it burn. Rather they would wait till it rots out. And therefore, then there's burning only after ones that would become unedible. So that's the only situation they'd be allowed to do that. But they would want you to do that to make sure they would have a special kula. So the special kula is that even though really, if we're right, if it should be the same halacha midrabanan, then when it hits the airspace of the kira of the stove, then the receptacle should become tame as well. But the rabbis wanted to make you know that this is a din derabanan. So therefore, they had the special kula. So the Gemara now continues with regards to tuma tana rabanan maspar shab prakim. When it comes to scissors that have two sections, and Rashi points out that these come apart when you're not using them. The Ismail Shuritani, and also these type of a blade and the handle of a carpenter that he used to use his blade, it would remove the blade from the handle after using it. Chibar latuma. They're considered attached with regards to tuma, that if you touch one part of it, the other one becomes tame as well. Vein chibar laza. However, they're not considered attached with regards to the purification process. You used to sprinkle on shlishi vishvi when something becomes tame, or sprinkling for day also. When something becomes tame, you need to sprinkle it with the upper paraduma, the afer paraduma. So you need to do that, you need to do it on only one sprinkle has to touch the whole item, but it needs to touch every item. So if we assume it's two items, they need to sprinkle both sides of it. If you suppose one item, then sprinkling one side of it is going to be enough. So the Gemara asks the question, though, Manashach, This seems to be, whatever way you slice it, is going to be a problem over here, because how do you view these utensils? If you assume that their attachment is considered, legally considered, one attachment, then also when you're doing the sprinkling, you should only have to hit one of the scissor parts and not both of them, and that should be enough to make it tahor. However, if we're assuming that it's not halachic attachment, then also in regards to tumah, if I touch one part of the scissors, the other part of the scissors should remain tahor. They shouldn't become tameh. So the Gemara answers now, Amarava, Dvar Torah, Bishas Malacha Chibar, Bein Latumah, Bein Laza. On a Torah law, the scissors are considered attached both with regards to tuma and with regards to sprinkling. So why are we machmir on the sprinkling? Only when you're using them. That's going to be the case when they're considered with regards to tuma if they're in use. However, when they're not in use, they're not considered attached. They're not considered attached with regards to the tuma or with regards to sprinkling. So then why are the rabbis machmir? Because the Rabbanan Al hatuma shelo b'shas malacha. The rabbis are free because you obviously come to make a mistake when is it in use or not in use. So the rabbis made a mistake, made a chumra that with regard to tuma, it's going to be machmir even when it's not in use. Mishum tuma shelo b'shas malacha, because of the fear that someone's going to get a mistake and think that it's that the halacha should apply like when they are in use, which is the fact that it should be connected. So midaraisa. And the same thing with regards to sprinkling, that when performing them, when they are in use, because of the fear that someone's going to make the mistake, that with regards to sprinkling that occurred when they were not in use, in which case, when they're not in use, it's not, they're considered two different items, so we're afraid, and therefore we're gozer that a person would make this mistake, which sounds like a pretty common mistake that you can make when it's being used or not in use, so therefore they're machmer on both ends of it. So therefore when it comes to hazah, we're going to assume that you need to do it on both items, and when it comes to tuma, we're going to be machmer like that also, that assume that it is connected, the chumrah of both opportunities, the chumrah of both situations. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem.